Well, this morning we're continuing in our series on the Spirit and the Christian life. And in particular this morning, we're thinking of the question, what does it mean to be filled with the Spirit? So as we think about this question, I want to tell you about a woman called Lucy, who became a Christian. And Lucy loved being a Christian, and her initial years of being a Christian were full of lots of excitement. And she loved reading the Bible and praying. But about 2 or 3 years later, Lucy found that that initial excitement started to wear off. And she found that reading the Bible and praying were much harder to do. She found that going to church wasn't as appealing. It was actually quite frustrating sometimes, and possibly even sometimes dull. And Lucy, at about that time, bumped into some other Christians from a different church. And those Christians said to Lucy, look, you're a Christian, all right, but what you need to do, Lucy, is to be filled with the Spirit, and then you'll have your excitement back. You'll really live the Christian life to the full. So you need to open up your life to the Spirit, let him fill you, and then all will be well. So Lucy started going along to this new church. She prayed that she would be filled with the Spirit. She went along, joined in the services, which she found stirred her up. The music was wonderful. She really found as she sang along with the people with all the great music that it stirred her emotions. But she also found that when she went back to normal life during the week, that those emotions started to fade. And she went through this turmoil of thinking, well, I'm praying to be filled with the Spirit. Why does the Spirit not fill me? Why can I not achieve this special experience that other Christians seem to have had? Well, I wonder if you were a friend of Lucy's, what might you say to her to help her? Well, we're going to look for some help in this topic of being filled with the Spirit in Ephesians chapter 5, because that's where we read these words, to be filled with the Spirit. And in this chapter, the Apostle Paul, one of the early Christians, is writing to the church in Ephesus, and he's writing with an instruction that they should walk in a manner worthy of the calling they have received. He says that they should be very careful about the way they're living and to walk as children of light. In verse 15, if you notice in chapter 5, he says, watch carefully how you walk. Now, what does he mean? Well, he spells it out with three contrasts. So in verse 15, here's the first contrast. Walk not as unwise, but as wise. And then the second contrast is in verse 17. Walk not like fools, but instead understand what the Lord's will is. And then the third contrast is in verse 18. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. Well, now, maybe that idea or contrast of being filled with the Spirit as opposed to being filled with wine makes us think of the Spirit as a kind of substance that fills us up like wine would or like water would. And we can think that, well, if God pours out his Spirit, it must be like that. And sometimes we can think in terms of, you know, us being like a glass and God pours out his Spirit and the Spirit fills us up like this water is filling this glass. But I think it would be a mistake to think of the Spirit like that. And the reasons are because, first of all, the Spirit is not a substance or a thing. He's not impersonal. He's very personal. He's a person. What does Jesus say about the Spirit? He says, he will glorify me. Not it will glorify me, but he will glorify me. So Jesus speaks of the Spirit as a person. And he's not an impersonal force or a thing, but he's a person. But more than that, what Paul actually says here is that we should be filled by the Spirit. Not so much with the Spirit, but being filled by the Spirit. So it's not that the Spirit is like this liquid that fills me up, but it's that the Spirit is the one who's filling me. He is the one who's doing the pouring, if you like. And so the question is, well, what is the Spirit filling me with if he's the one who is doing the filling? What is he filling me with? Well, glancing at these verses, there's no hint here of what the Spirit fills us with. But friends, when we are reading verses in the Bible and we find that the answer isn't immediately obvious, then what we need to do is to, first of all, look at the rest of that particular book. So let's look at the rest of the book of Ephesians and ask ourselves, does the book of Ephesians give me an answer as to what the Spirit is filling Christians with? And wonderfully, we can find some answers in chapter 1. So you might want to turn back to Ephesians chapter 1 with me. Chapter 1 and verses 22 to 23, where Paul says, God has put all things under the authority of Christ and has made him head over all things for the benefit of the church. And the church is his body. It is made full and complete by Christ, who fills all things everywhere with himself. So Christ's body, the church, is filled by him, according to these verses. And we see this again in chapter 4. So have a flick over to chapter 4 and verses 10 to 13. Chapter 4, verses 10 to 13, which says, "And the same one who descended," that's Jesus, "is the one who ascended higher than all the heavens, so that he might fill the entire universe with himself. Now these are the gifts Christ gave to the church, the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, and the pastors and teachers. Their responsibility is to equip God's people for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ, until we all reach the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ." So there it is again. The church, God's people, are to be filled with Christ. And it has this sense here of becoming more like Christ, growing up into the full stature as his body, becoming mature and more like him, the head of the body. You know, sometimes when a teenage boy is growing up, people will say he's really filling out. Well, it's that idea here. The body needs to fill out and become like the head. It's that sense of maturing and growing up to become more like Jesus. And describing the change that God is bringing about in his church as being filled with Christ by the Spirit makes sense, doesn't it? After all, what does the New Testament say? It says, "Beholding the glory of the Lord, we are all being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another. For this comes from the Lord who is the Spirit." Well, that's it, isn't it? As we behold the Lord, as we behold Christ and his glory, as our churches are filled with Christ, then the Spirit makes us more like him and we're transformed into his glory. No wonder then that Jesus said the Spirit would glorify him. So being filled with Christ is the goal for the church. And the Spirit fills us with Christ. The Spirit makes the church more like Jesus. And that's the first thing that is going to help our friend Lucy. That being filled by the Spirit is all about growing in Christ-likeness. It's all about growing in holiness and godly living. Wise living, walking carefully, as Paul says, not like the unwise or foolish ways we used to walk in, but walking as children of light, walking like the Lord Jesus. But here's the second thing that's going to help our friend Lucy. Being filled by the Spirit is all about God's church, not about me. So Paul's instruction here to go on walking as people filled by the Spirit is plural. And I'm sorry, this is a bit of a grammar lesson, but it is plural here. And he's giving this instruction not to an individual Christian, but his instruction is addressed to Christian churches, to congregations. And of course, that makes sense because the book of Ephesians is all about the church. And we read in this letter that the church is God's new temple, his new people. And you remember that video from earlier on in our service where we saw God's plan to fill his church and then ultimately to fill his world with his glory and his kingdom. And the Spirit is putting that plan into action today. And being filled by the Spirit is about his church, not so much about me. Well, you know, we're very tempted sometimes to think in individual terms. It's just the way we're programmed, both because of our sinful natures and because of the world we live in and the culture that we grow up in. We always think in terms of individuals and ourselves. And I instinctively want to read the Bible and to think that it's a book that's all about me. But of course, the Bible is a book that's all about Jesus. And then secondly, about his church, his people. And so you'll notice in chapter 3 in Ephesians, chapter 5 in Ephesians, it begins with instructions for church meetings. And it lists the kind of things that should and shouldn't happen in those meetings. And that's because being filled by the Spirit with Christ and Christ-likeness is all about God's church. It's all about making God's church holy and more like Jesus. So Lucy, our friend, who's worried about having an individual personal experience of the Spirit, well, she's focused on the wrong thing. And that has led her into all sorts of problems. And what she should do is take her focus off herself and to look at the big plan, the big picture of what God is doing. Doing for his people together, including Lucy, but much bigger than just her. His plan for his church to make it more like Jesus. And having that plan in view will bring Lucy much more assurance and confidence. She can be confident that Jesus is the one who has sent his Spirit to complete this work. And the work that he has begun in his church, he is going to bring to completion one day. And Lucy can be very confident that Jesus, who sent the Spirit, is the one who promised to be with us. And never to leave us or to forsake us, but to be with us always, even till the end. He's not going to give up and leave his people. Now, Lucy might think, that's all very well, but change in my church is very slow, and it's very frustrating. And I just wish it would hurry up, because other people in the church, I find them a little bit annoying sometimes. She might want the church to become more like Jesus just a little bit quicker. Well, she can remember what Paul says here. He says, walk this way. Keep walking as the church filled by the Spirit, as the Spirit continues to fill you up with Christ and to fill you up to the measure of Christ, to the maturity of Christ. So be patient and keep walking that way. It will be slow sometimes. Be quicker at other times, but you can be sure it's going to happen. And one day, perhaps not even in this lifetime, but one day we'll see what God's Spirit has been doing with his church, and it will be glorious. Well, if this is God's plan for his people, then what does a maturing Christ-like church look like? What should we expect to see in a church which is growing up into the fullness of Christ? Well, we're told exactly what it looks like in verses 19 to 21. Such a church is one in which people are addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with their hearts. They're giving thanks always and for everything to God the Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And they are submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. Well, just look at those verses with me, verses 19 to 21. There are attitudes here, aren't there? There's thankfulness and reverence. And as well as attitudes, there are activities as well. There's speaking, singing, and submitting. And those are all easy to remember because they begin with S. Like, I realise at the moment, some of these things are difficult to do. For example, it may be some time before we're able to sing together again. But let's plan ahead for when we are able to do these things, when we resume normal church meetings. Let's imagine for a second what it could be like, what it should be like. Imagine these attitudes and these activities filling the life of our church as the Spirit fills our church with Christ. Wouldn't it be a wonderful church to be a member of, where there is thankfulness and reverence for Christ? And where the Bible is opened and talked about and people share it with one another, it's spoken by church members one to another, and where they're singing from the heart to the Lord, and where people are submitting to one another and the different roles that God has given us to do. You know, I think a church like that is very different from being like a restaurant. Because when I go to a restaurant, and hopefully I'll get to go to another restaurant soon, but when I go to a restaurant, I walk in through the door, I find a table and I look at the menu and I decide what I want. I think to myself, what do I want on this particular day? And the restaurant exists to serve me. And there might be things on the menu that I don't like, but there had better be things on the menu that I do like, or I might leave. And as for the other diners in the restaurant, well, they don't really matter so much. I don't care what they're doing. They don't really affect me. They have nothing to do with me. But unlike a restaurant, a church is all about other people, and it's all about serving them. It's not about me and my consumer needs. And this is the final point. Being filled by the Spirit is all about the Lord and other people. A Spirit-filled church is a church in which people speak and sing the truth about Christ. They speak and sing the truth to each other for each other's benefit. And they submit to each other out of reverence for Christ. That is miles away from being like a restaurant. Now, I realise when we re-enter our church buildings, we may have to sit apart for a while. We may have to keep our distance. But even then, we'll still be able to speak to each other and to speak with the intention of building up the body of Christ, of speaking words that are going to be helpful for other Christians to hear, words of truth and words that take truths from the Bible and apply it to what's going on in our lives. So will I enter the church building one day with that intention? Will I think to myself, I know the Spirit is working among these people to bring them to maturity in Christ. The Spirit is filling this church with Christ. So what could I say in these conversations today that would help point people to Jesus and help them become more like him? And the same thought really should be in my mind as I join in with Zoom meetings at the moment. When I click that link to join the meeting, what am I going to say that's going to build up the body of Christ, these people in this meeting, and what is going to be helpful? Because that is the mark of a church being filled by the Spirit. And another mark is that there's a heart of thankfulness. You know, when we go into the restaurant, what do we do? We look at the menu and then we list our demands to the waiter. Well, we put it politely, but essentially we're listing what we want, our demands. But a church is filled with thankfulness and gratitude for what God has done. And that is very Christ-like. And you can hear it in the way people speak and in the way people pray. And then finally, the Spirit is working in the church as people submit to each other out of reverence for Christ. Actually, reverence doesn't really put it strongly enough. Paul says, out of fear of Christ, out of a healthy kind of fear that he is king and his authority is ultimately the highest authority in the world. And so if he has appointed people to certain roles in the church, then he's done that because he thinks that they should shepherd his church. And they have that responsibility and they'll be answerable to him. But for the time being, God's people are called to submit. It's not like a restaurant where the customer is always right. This is God's plan for his church, his people. And his Spirit is filling his church with Christ. He's making the body more like the head. And what that will look like is speaking and singing and submitting with thankfulness in our hearts and with reverence for Christ. So let's pray for our churches now. Our Father, we thank you that your Holy Spirit is at work in your people to make us more like your glorious Son. Forgive us for being too preoccupied with ourselves and our own experiences. By your Spirit, help us to grow up into maturity, loving each other more than ourselves, seeking to speak in ways that will help other people. Give us words to say. Help us to see how your word helps people in their lives. And eventually we look forward to one day singing joyfully from our hearts together for the good of those around us. Help us to do that. And we pray that you'd help us to submit to those you have given responsibility of shepherding your people as together we walk as children of light. And we pray this for your glory and for the good of your church. Amen. Well, now we're going to sing and we're going to praise and give thanks to God from our hearts, even in our homes. And we're going to sing this song, Come Praise and Glorify Our God.